It is Dukes and Bell. Big shout out to our buddy Steve Mancinelli. Mike and I were just having a conversation with him about his shoulder. He's going to have shoulder replacement, and it's going down next week. And we were just talking with him, and he was describing, not to discuss, you know, make you guys get weirded out here. Yeah. I'm not going to go into detail. But if you're into these things, and I know some of you people are, you're weirdos, you go on to YouTube and you start watching these surgeries and how they do some of this stuff.
I'm not watching that.
Me neither. Mike, look at me. I'm a tough guy. But nice. I can't stand blood. And when it comes to, like, these surgeries, look, I'm the dude that turns away when you give me a shot, okay?
Right.
So when you start – don't look at me like that. So when you start talking about these surgeries and they go in – and Steve Mancinelli's telling – they're going to go in my shoulder and they're going to chisel out. I said, chisel?
They're going to chisel the bones, bro.
I don't – when you had – you lost me at chisel.
That's why I'm not getting mine done. I've got my right shoulder comes out a little bit further than my left. I'm not messing with it. You know what?
Come on, man.
I just go light. You know what? When everybody's slapping iron like Lou Ferrigno, I'm just doing like cables, man. 15, 25, 30.
You become that guy.
I don't care, man. My father said every day is chest day. Just keep your chest out bigger than your stomach, and you can see the other thing, you're okay.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, we talked about this the other day because we were talking about weight loss and how we're trying to, you know, do it. I lost – the only reason I lost weight is so I don't have to have my knee replaced because I don't want to deal with that rehab, man. I do not want to deal with that. I know a guy that I can mention his name, Bobak, who I used to work with back in the day, Legendary 790. He had a knee replacement, and we were all hanging out at the – go visit Bo at his rehab at Georgia Tech, and they were like this aqua therapy. And so I walk in, and I was with George Godsey. And it might not have been Brett Key, it might have been a Beamer, was it a GA? And we walk in, and Bo's in the pool. And Bo's one of the toughest guys I know. And he's literally screaming like, oh, my God, what are they doing to him? He's like, it won't bend any further. Stop it. Stop it. So just on that alone, no way, Jose. I am. So that's why I lost the 30 pounds.
Yeah.
That I'm trying to keep off so I don't have to do that knee replacement. No way.
Yeah, look, and I know some of you have had the surgeries. We're talking about whether it's knee replacement.
And you got to do it. You got to get a hip. Jeff Francoeur was just talking about last night on the broadcast. He's got to get a hip replacement coming up.
Yeah, it's tough. But Steve, man, nothing but love. We wish you the best, obviously. But he was just talking about. But he's a tough guy, man. He's a big Italian dude. He's like, they're gonna chisel my shoulder out. They're gonna put a titanium ball in there. He's just talking like it's no big deal. They'll have me open for hours, and now they're gonna go in and clean it up. I'm like, you could have stopped way a long time ago.
Well. Years ago, when I first busted up my shoulder, I played rugby in 20 years, but when I lived in Spire and my shoulder was acting up, we had this female bodybuilder who lived in the building, and she trained with a guy, and this dude was also, he looked like Mr. Universe. So we're sitting here, and we were talking at the pool one day in my old building, and I said, yeah, I need to get the shoulder done. She goes, yeah, the rehab is a real bitch. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna pass on that. Pass on that right there.
Thank you, Mike.
Hurts like hell.
Thank you. Yes, I don't wish that on anybody.
And those pain pills don't do anything.
I don't wish that on anybody. But
thank you, Donna.
But if you have to go through it, man, good luck. But anyways, we were just talking with one of our listeners, Steve. Hey, man, we're out here at Hooters.
True story.
I believe it. Yeah. Having a good time, hanging out here, and we're going to be back at Hooters Mall of Georgia on Thursday. Hey, coming up, you're going to hear from Matthew Bergeron, one of our unsung heroes. He really is. One of the better offensive linemen, man, that we have, and I think he's one of the better guys in the league. Mike, you mentioned a story today about him going and congratulating Pitts on a catch, did he miss one?
I was talking this with Carl earlier. We got this when Michael Penix Jr., unsolicited, goes into his first media session and says, hey, we got KP the ball today. You see that? Guys are acutely aware of the criticism that Kyle Pitts has gotten from us, around the league, from national guys like Greg Olson on the broadcast, what Rodney Harrison said. As Carl says, these guys hear all this stuff.
They do.
And maybe they love him as a teammate, and they see things that we just haven't been able to see on a regular basis on the field. And, you know, we can debate. Not his fault he had two bums as quarterbacks. You know, an injury that never seemed to end, if that's one excuse. But now, when he has a play and he had a ball that he dropped, Bergeron comes out, he's dapping him up. Runs away from the huddle, makes the effort to, you know, give him some confidence.
Run 10, 15 yards.
Pitts makes a big catch. Two or three guys come over there and they're dapping him up. So I think the team as a whole, it's almost like they want to see Pitts shut up the critics and see Pitts be this Pro Bowl guy that he was in year one again.
You know, it reminds me of the explosion we saw with A.J. Terrell when he got that pick last year in Tampa. When it was like, he's great, but he never gets picks. What's going on?
He's
going
to get a big contract, but he doesn't give you any interceptions.
And then he got that pick. And remember, the entire team literally came off the bench.
I was sitting behind the bench at Raymond James, and he basically levitated. That was an amazing catch at the goal line. Because, you know, I'll tell you what, Bucks are driving.
Yeah.
Very different game.
Yeah.
But you're right, Brady. Everybody reacted to it. So there is a team dynamic. And if you heard Leonard Floyd, yes, everyone from me to Arthur Blank would like to see, you know, our coach make better decisions in clock management. Players love playing for Ra. They love this guy.
They do.
And Leonard Floyd's an OG. He doesn't have to say that.
No,
he did.
No. Look, he's made a lot of money.
Right.
You're absolutely right. Hey, man, hanging out. Find us on social media, Dukes and Bell. Of course, you can follow the radio station at 929 The Game and follow Mike at Mike Bell, ATL. And I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes. We'd love to hear from you guys. One thing I do want to mention, more Falcon notes coming up, guys, as we give you our takes on what went down today at the practice, the first padded practice, full pads. Raheem Morris was non-committal on whether or not Darnell Mooney and his shoulder injury is going to be ready for week one. I only bring that up to say they obviously signed DJ Shark, and they feel good about that.
Right.
But this was my concern when we talked about this Friday, Mike, and we were speculating about how serious this injury was. It's not about whether week one he comes back. He's going to come back at some point. But is this lingering? Does it not allow him, Mike, to stretch out for balls or go up for balls in a game where we need that with Darnell Mooney? Because his athleticism was a big part of his success last year. All those balls from Cousins weren't just on point. He had to go make some plays, right? Some high point balls, some 50-50 balls. So that's concerning for me that the coach is like, well, we're going to reevaluate in a couple of weeks and we'll see. Now, I'm not saying he's lying, but I do think that they are cautiously optimistic about how soon Darnell Mooney is going to be back. And then once he's back, is he 100?
Shark is a different kind of player. You know, he was a guy that had high hopes coming out of the NFL Combine because he was a 4'3 guy that was 6'3. It's like, wow, that's size and speed. And then he just couldn't stay healthy. Had a 1,000-yard season, then the rest is kind of downhill. But, you know, hey, if he can, you know, cobble together enough of a run to be a complimentary piece if they keep him on the roster, you know, once Mooney comes back, or they are actually not lying when they say they were thinking about him while Mooney was here, before the injury, okay. Just adds another element of size and a big target for Michael Penix to throw to. So we'll see. I mean, I think at the end of the day, he'll probably get released and Mooney will be okay.
Yeah, no doubt. If you're wondering about what's going on with the Braves, Grant McCauley will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. Rumors are out there about Marcell Ozuna and potentially where he might end up. He did have a home run last night, so we're going
to
see.
Great to see, too, man.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But the countdown is on, guys. Trade deadline is July 31st. Hey, man, while we're talking about all these things, we got to talk some dogs. You know, you asked me last week, and I never really got back to answering it because I think we went on a tangent, just what we do on this show, and we got to talking about so many different things. But you remember you asked me last week if I thought the dogs could win it? And you were like, and I said,
yes.
I said, we'll come back and we'll talk about this.
Right. You think the Georgia Bulldogs can win a national championship as well, going with what we know? No, knowing that we got some turnover in key areas like the offensive line.
Yes.
You got some amazing skill position players. We just heard from Drew Butler. Matthew Stafford loves, who's the transfer from USC?
The wide receiver.
Yeah. Josh Branch. Yeah. Zachariah Branch. Loves him. And I don't know how much USC he's watching, but he saw enough to think this guy's unbelievable route runner. The Georgia fans are going to love him. But to me, it starts with the offensive line and ends with Gunnar Stockton. So I think we can make the playoffs. I'm not sold on a natty this year.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I am. And they have him listed, by the way, Zachariah Branch, as a slot guy. Not as
5'10".
Not necessarily as the X, all right, the wide receiver. They have him listed as a slot. Nevertheless, if he can make plays, it won't matter. My thing about this is, yeah, I do think that they have a chance to get into the playoff again. There's no debating that. I think people are looking at Georgia, and like Kirby said, you know, what did you not see last year? We won the SEC again.
Right.
But I also feel like I have no feeling whatsoever about what Gunnar Stockton is. And I was talking with a friend of ours today, Mike, who's a big Miami fan, while we were at practice. And he was talking about having a chance to talk to Carson Beck last week. And I think Carson Beck is rejuvenated. I don't know how good he's going to be. We know we saw him at his best. We saw him at his worst at Georgia. But he's in a new situation. He came back to improve his draft status. And
is his arm 100%, though?
Well, we're going to find out.
Nobody's talking about this arm injury. He basically had the same injury that Brock Purdy had to bounce back from.
That's right. So we're going to find out. But I, regardless of whatever you thought about Carson Beck, I feel like I knew more about him than I do about Gunnar at this point. And that is my concern. So when you ask me that question, my retort to that is, how good is Gunnar Stockton this season? Is he spectacular or is he average? And if he's average, is that going to be good enough to win the national championship for you? And I got to tell you, I don't think it's going to be. I don't care how good the wide receiving core is, and I don't care how good the defense may be or the back half with KJ back there. To me, it still gets back to you're going to need him to be above whatever the expectation is. And so I do think they make the playoff, but I'm not willing to tell you that they're going to win a national championship.
Well, I mean, the offensive line, we had Connor Riley on yesterday from Dog Nation, and he was reminding us that they basically kind of flip-flopped or moved over their tackles. So you got Freeland and Green. Green is on the right side, played left tackle, you know, in recent seasons for Georgia. These guys weren't good. And I know the guy said, why are you dogging the offensive line? I'm not trying to hate. I'm just giving you facts. If you didn't like this offensive line that was manhandled by Notre Dame, the guys that are now starting, for the most part, couldn't beat out those guys to be better at offensive line than Georgia needed to be last year. That's my only concern. I think you touched on skill position. We got a bunch of dudes. I think secondary, linebacker, you know, emerging players on D-line that Kirby likes, including some true freshmen.
Yes.
So I think, but everybody's in the same boat with the exception of the Texas Longhorns. You know, I mean, Texas seems, yeah. But they've also turned over their offensive line, but they've got, obviously, they got a little more depth, it looks like, than Georgia.
It feels that way. And here's the other thing, and Kirby alluded to this in the SEC media days. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You'll hear from Matthew Bergeron, guard for our Atlanta Falcons, who was on with Andy and Randy, as we give you extensive and exclusive camp coverage here live from Hooters. He said, we're young. And I think that part of it is, yeah, you can be good, but there's this process, Mike. You got to know how to win close games. You got to have a bunch of guys. And like, everybody wants to point back to the Braves. Remember this year, how many of you guys wanted to tell us that this was going to turn into the 21 Braves? Mm. This is not going to turn into the 21 or 22
right.
Georgia Bulldogs either. You had experienced dudes on that team who knew how to win and then knew how to win close games. And in most cases, you weren't scoring on them. And I can't say that about a young Georgia team. As Kirby said, we're young. We're young all over the field. Doesn't mean they won't be talented.
No, they're.
But that's the difference.
And again, not having that, you know, that margin of error as far as the depth chart. But this is the same boat everybody else is in. You know, you got Ohio State's breaking a new quarterback.
Yes, they are.
Michigan, you got all these big programs breaking in new quarterbacks. Penn State has. Now, there's other programs that have guys that are in place. So there's a lot of turnover at the key positions around the big power, you know, us in the Big Ten, the two conferences that matter most. Miami, Carson Beck, if he's going to be the man, apparently that team is really loaded. The coach makes really bad decisions. I think it's Dabo and Clemson in the ACC. I think that's where it's at. I think Clemson's going to be in that Final Four.
Oh, I do too. I think they're the best team in the ACC. We get a chance to see here in a few weeks as football gets underway, especially college football. Hey, man, come on through. We'd love to get a chance to see you. We're here until 6 o'clock. Mike's got some guy talk on the way. And in the 5 o'clock hour, more with Flo. That's Leonard Floyd, who we had a chance to catch up with. But next, Matthew Bergeron and what he's saying about this offensive
line. He's a dude.
Protecting Penix. Yeah, man. And what's he been up to? Find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.